Ephesians chapter 6. I'm reading from verses 10 to 20. Thank you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and belt your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. May God always bless the public reading of his infallible and inspired word. Amen.
My name is Roland Henshaw. I am one of the pastors from the network. Our church is in Grove Park. Amen. Amen. And it's always a joy coming to KT. This is my home church. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor Malcolm for giving me this opportunity to come and share with you. I will try as much as possible today not to get excited, because I'm meant to be teaching, not preaching. Okay. We have the scripture that was read earlier. And some years ago, someone said to me, the person said to me, "Oh, let's pray about this, because I think it's an attack from the enemy." And I said, "Look, to be sincere with you, there's always an attack from the enemy." And that's the truth. That's the Christian life. We will always have battles. Amen. You know, even those who are not Christians have battles. They have their challenges. Okay? But what makes this scripture so important and interesting is that it says, having done all to stand, stand. Are you getting me? Yes. It says, stand. It also says in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. But today I'm looking at Ephesians 6, verse 14, and I'll be looking at the belt of truth. Paul says, stand therefore and belt your waist with truth. One of the things I've discovered is that when the enemy attacks, he can attack you with sickness, he can attack your marriage, he can attack many things in your life. And one of the things I realized is that he's not attacked you because he wants you to do something wrong. I discovered that the one thing the enemy does when he attacks is actually to derail you, take you away from focusing on God, take you away from focusing on the truth of God, take you away from knowing who you are. Am I making sense? He attacks us so we lose focus of who we are in Christ Jesus. He attacks our testimonies. He attacks our identity. He attacks the call of God in our lives. He attacks our values. He attacks us in order to shift our point of view from who God is. Because he knows that when your view of God is warped, you lose focus of the truth. Amen. And today you find many Christians or some Christians who have moved away from the faith because they've been offended and they don't know that the truth that Jesus says offenses will come. Amen. So as believers, I want to encourage you today that the word Paul says there, he says, stand. And to stand is taking a spiritual pose. To stand is to embrace and believe in what Christ did for you at Calvary, that it is complete. Amen. So when you look at that verse 13, where I'm omitting on will be 14, but I really want you to look at 13 first. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand on the evil day. There will always be an evil day. Okay? So we cannot run away from it. The only way we can stand the evil day is when we know who we have believed in. Amen. He says, and you'll be able to withstand in the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, stand firm. You see, because the enemy comes with schemes, plans, ploy, deception. And Paul is making it clear to us that to walk this walk of faith, we must not be ignorant of the lies of the enemy. And I want to show you how Jesus puts it in addressing the Pharisees and the Sadducees in John 8. He actually calls the devil the father of lies. Okay? But there's something I want you to see in this scripture in John 8, 44. It says, you are from your father, the devil, and you choose to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. I want you to take note of that. Because Paul is telling us in verse 14 that we should stand, okay, with our belt guarded, our loins guarded, with what? Truth. And here we also see Jesus saying of the devil that he does not stand in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. He says when he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So Paul is now saying to us in verse 14, stand therefore and belt yourself, your waist, with truth. Now see this. Jesus is saying the devil does not stand in truth. Paul is telling you and I as a believer that we should do what? Stand in truth. Amen. He says, because the devil, there's no truth in him, and because he does not stand in truth, there is no truth in him. So if you stand in truth, you'll be filled with truth. Did you get that? Amen. So we need to belt ourselves in truth because we have been called to stand. Okay? Stand therefore. Hallelujah. So what does it mean to stand? To stand is a spiritual posture in the finished work of Christ. To stand is an attitude towards a particular issue or situation. To stand is to take our grounds not being shifted. To stand is not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Amen. Our society is filled with it today. Amen. And most times, most Christians don't know, should I believe this or should I not? Should I believe this? Should I not? But the truth is that we need to belt our loins with what? With truth. Hallelujah. Standing in truth, as Paul counsels, I want to say to you that standing on the truth of God against the lies of the devil is to stand in place of worship. Stand in a place of thanksgiving. Stand in praise. Stand in faith. Stand in the truth of God. Stand in righteousness. Stand knowing that he who began this good work in you is able to finish it. So when he talks about the belt, I believe this is one of Paul's letters whilst he was in prison. And when he talks about belt, he probably saw the soldiers that stood by him that they had their belt on. And I came today, the last time I did this was when, before I retired, okay, about 2 years ago from my civil service job. Normally, I will go to work with this pouch tied to my belt. Okay? Can everyone see? So today I decided I would, after how many, 2 years or so that I retired, I'll do it again. You see, in this pouch, when I used to go to work, I had my crest, I had my ID card, I had my warrant card in it, and that gave me authority. Okay? When I go through the door, I'll just flash it or put my fob and it opens the door. My freedom pass, everything was in there. So I could, I knew what I had in here. You get what I'm saying? When the soldiers stand with their loins guarded, they had their belt. But on that belt was a scabbard. And in that scabbard was a sword. Okay? It was the belt that held the sword, that held the scabbard, that had the sword in it. I'm going somewhere. What do we refer to the sword? The word of God. Okay? I know, I think someone will be talking about the word. But I want you to understand something here. The belt of truth carries the word of God. Yes. Attached to it. Because that's where you're going to find the truth. You know what I'm saying? That when you bring out the sword, that's the sword of the Spirit. That's the truth. So I knew who I was when I went to offices and I flashed my badge, that my authority was in there. Are you getting me? And he says we should guard our waist. The one thing I noted as I was looking at this belt is that the belt is the mark of the soldier. Not only that, but it also really was a status of symbol of being a soldier. And it was worn at all times, even when they were off duty. Amen? The reason why we see so many casualties in the church today is because they have taken off the belt. They've taken off the belt of truth. But we're reading here, it says the belt was on them all the time, even when they were off duty. Amen. Hallelujah. What is truth? And why do we need truth as a belt around our waist? For us as Christians, I want us to understand one thing, that truth is not an abstract idea, but a person. Amen? We know that we know this because Jesus tells us in John 14, 16. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Are you getting me? Jesus is the truth. But you know what makes it also complete is that Jesus is not just the truth. Jesus is also the word. Because in John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then he goes on to tell us that the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. When Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate asked this question. He said, what is truth? Truth was standing right in front of Pilate, and Pilate did not recognize it. Pilate asked that question, what is truth? But did not wait to get the answer. He walked away from truth. But we are now told as believers to guide our waist with what? Truth. Why do we need truth? Because truth is what enables us to stand. Amen. Truth is what enables us to face the onslaught of the enemy. Okay? And I want to really challenge me to go back to the truth. Let me just quickly show you what Scripture says about the Word of God. And I want you to hear this. In John, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. All Scripture. Let's never make that mistake about, oh, one is Old Testament, one is New Testament. No. We need to read the whole Bible. I don't care how often you read it, but just read it. Amen. Because that's where you find truth. Amen. Look at what Scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 160. It says, the sum of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. 2 Samuel 7:28 says, now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are truth. And you have promised this good thing to your servant. Listen to John 17:17. John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Is that what, where it stops? It says, for your word is truth. Amen. So what does it mean to sanctify? To sanctify is to set apart, is to separate. And Jesus is saying, I have prayed for them. I have prayed for them, and my prayer is that you sanctify them with truth. Because your word is truth. So for any believer to withstand the onslaught of the enemy, you need to know the truth about who you are. Amen. Amen. Who you are. What you were, where you've come from, and where you are now, and where you're going. Amen? It's not enough to just come and sit in a meeting and just receive and get motivated. You know, the devil doesn't attack you here. We can come in here and hear the word. Oh, that was good. Oh, pastor, that was a good word. And then you go, did you hear the word? Pastor preached. Oh, that was good. And then you get home. And you forget. Now, the truth of God says in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. And do you know the truth about it is that he didn't even say, love your wife because she's good. He didn't say, love your wife because she put food on your table. And he didn't say to the wife, respect your husband because he's handsome. He didn't say, respect your husband because he aged. Jesus. Nicely. So you can see, you can hear this word, the word of truth. It's exciting. You leave this place, but you have to leave the truth. That is why you have it around your waist. Amen. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children. What does that mean? It means learn not to provoke them. Children, obey your parents. Is that not the truth? That's the word of God. That is why it says, sanctify them with truth, for your word is truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I show you another scripture. 1 Kings 17:24. Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you're a man of God, and the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." If Jesus says you can cast out demons, if Jesus says you can lay hands on the sick and get them healed, why are we not doing it? If the word of God in our mouth is truth, because it's what you have that you're going to produce. If you don't have it, how do you produce what you don't have? Amen. The belt is not just there for fancy, for you to look fun, to look good. I sometimes look for good belts, but sometimes they're expensive. But the belt we're told to put around our waist doesn't cost you anything because you didn't pay for it. Praise the Lord. Pilate wanted to know the truth, but the truth was standing in front of him. We cannot separate the concept of truth from the person of Jesus Christ. They go hand in hand. And it is very important for us to understand why Paul is asking the church to belt ourselves with truth in battle. Because it's only the truth of God that can set you free when you are in a battle. When you have those challenges, when you have sickness, when you have a child who is ill, who you have to be in hospital constantly, it is the truth that you know that'll keep you going, because you have it round your waist, because you're girded with it. Amen. I hope I'm challenging me this evening. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue," can you see? It's not stop and start. Okay? "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So it's not because was it Jerry read that scripture and you heard the scripture and you think that's enough? No, it isn't. Okay? Let me put it this way. You have to have an insatiable hunger for the word. Yes. Amen. Psalm 119, I think it's verse 9, says, "How can a young man cleanse his ways? With my whole heart I've searched for you. Your word, O Lord, would I hide in my heart that I might not sin against you." Amen. There's got to be an insatiable hunger in us for the word of God, because the word of God is truth. And when we fill ourselves, look, you can never fill yourself enough with the word. There were three people, I believe, in the Bible that were tempted with food. Okay? Adam, because that's where the father of lies first started, said, "As God said." And she said, "Well, God has said we shouldn't eat a particular tree in the middle of the..." But all the other ones. And the devil said, no. God knows that on the day you eat it, you'll be wise. You see, we're always wanting to add. Esau sold his birthright because of food. Adam and Eve lost their position because of food. Esau lost it because of food. Then we get to Jesus. Amen. 40 days and 40 nights. He's hungry. You know, if the Bible did not tell us that Jesus was hungry, then we'll say, oh, he wasn't hungry. That's why he didn't turn the stone into bread. The Bible clearly tells us that he was hungry and he was tempted. And Satan said, turn these stones into bread. The way he started it was, if you are the Son of God. Because the enemy will always want to cheat you of your identity until you know the truth. Until you know the truth of who you are. He then said to him, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. You know what he said? It is written. It is written. So where is that it's written coming from? It's coming from the word of God. Amen. Because Jesus knows the truth. And he's responding with the truth. We need to learn to respond with truth. But it only comes when you're filled with it. Today, many Christians are struggling in their marriage. Struggling with who they are in Christ. Because they have taken off their belt of truth. The belt needs to be worn always. Because the belt holds the sword, which is the word of God. People of God, the battle is real. And Paul tells us we're not fighting against flesh and blood. And I want to say to you, he says we're fighting against powers and principalities. But listen to me, your wife is not your enemy. Your child is not your enemy. Your boss is not your enemy. Your neighbor is not your enemy. If we can just grasp that truth, and that's what Scripture is trying to tell us. Grasp the truth that you are fighting on sin powers and principalities in the heavenly places. Amen. Most times we want to fight people with malice. We won't talk to them. We prejudice. We do all that. But let's go back to the truth. The truth is saying we are not fighting against flesh and blood. And that's why Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They are mighty through God in doing what? In pulling down strongholds. So we're not fighting. You know, sometimes some people, they pray for, Lord, change my wife. Lord, change my husband. Lord, you haven't even changed yourself. And you want to change your wife. You want to change your husband. Don't worry, I used to pray that kind of prayer before. Lord, change my wife. Recently, I asked someone a question because they came to me about, oh, this is what this person does, this is what this person does. So I said, can I ask you a simple question? He said, yes. I said, you know that attitude you're telling me, has it just started? She said, no. I said, you saw that attitude before you married him? She said, yes. I said, so why do you want to change it? Are you getting me? We've seen it there, and we want to change him. No, you don't. You ask God to change you so that to change you so that you know how to deal with that situation. And whilst God is dealing with you, he will be dealing with him. But you don't try. Hey, this person has been living that life for 30 years. And you married him. He's not even up to 2 years. You want to change this person in 2 years? No, you can't. Let's go back to the truth. He's not your enemy. She's not your enemy. The truth is, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Are you getting me? I used to try that with my wife, and then my wife tried it on me too. She bought a book called The Power of a Praying Wife. And so one day I took a peek in the power of a praying wife, and I realized it wasn't praying that I should be changed. But as she was praying, I began to see changes in me. Praise the Lord. So the battle is real. And I want you to understand that the truth of God is not based on sentiment. Many of us walk in sentiment. If you receive a doctor's report today that you're sick, or you have something that the doctor says nobody can cure, it's a fact. Don't try to say, don't try to be so over spiritual. God forbid. It's not me. It's my enemies. No, you have it. That's a fact. Are you getting me? Let me put it this way. You know, some of you used to go to work when you didn't do it. But those of us from Nigeria who were very spiritual, you say, you're sick, you have flu. And then they say, call the doctor. And you're saying, I don't have flu. But you can't get out of bed. Your body is hot. You're sweating. And you're saying, I don't have. Okay, tell your boss that you don't have flu if he will not ask you to come to work. It's the fact that you are sick. It's a fact that you have flu. But the truth is that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Can you see the difference between truth and fact? Let's not be sentimental. We operate in too much sentiment and not in truth. God is a God of truth. He's not a God of sentiment. Amen? Because you see, sentiment is what normally will shift us away from the truth. Okay? But the truth, God's truth does not change. God's truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The world might want to change it, but God remains constant. He says, let every man be a liar. And let God remain true. He says, of two immutable things, of which it is impossible for God to lie. So can you see that we serve a God of truth? And we are his children, and we need to do what? Walk in truth. And that's why we need the belt. We must never take it off. Hallelujah. When we fight, we must fight from the standpoint of truth. You see, I found out that many believers try to fight these battles with their emotions. Unfortunately, when you fight spiritual battles with your emotions, you're bound to lose. Okay? My wife will kill me. Listen, when my wife does something wrong sometimes, and I'm very upset, I've learned that I need to fill my heart with something. What do I fill my heart with? The truth. Because if I don't, the enemy will feel it. So if I've gotten angry, or we've gotten angry, and I leave the house, and I'm going, I will love my wife. I will love my wife. Lord, your word says to love my wife. I will love my wife. I keep saying it until my mind believes it, my spirit believes it, everything about me believes it, because it's the truth. It's the truth. That's why I say bind. Because you must always carry the truth with you. And that belt of truth has the word of God. And you need to constantly go back and say, what is God saying about this situation? Not what my friends, not what my mother, not what my father, nor what my brother. No, that is not the truth. If it does not align with the word of God, throw it away. Sanctify them with the truth. And your word is what? So why should I listen to other people? If you want to speak to me, speak the truth of God to me. Yes, you are weak, but scripture says, because of Jesus Christ, you are strong. Amen? Praise the Lord. Listen to this, because we need to know who we are. 1 John 15:19-20 say, we know that we are God's children. That's the truth. And the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Have you seen that? Everything is in the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. Who do you believe? Jesus Christ, the truth. And you are guarding yourself at all time with that truth. Amen? That whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that we have, even our faith. Who is it? Who overcomes? He who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And you know what? If you believe that, no matter what the battle, you're always saying, I'm a victor. I'm a victor because you know the truth. It was some years ago. I'd gone for an interview in my office and I didn't get it because my boss then said, you speak too much about Jesus. We're not going to promote you. And I was like, so I became angry. And then the Lord said to me, I want you to go and apologize to her. I said, what? He said, I want you to apologize to her. So I said, God, if you want me to apologize to her, I want to park my car. I want to park my car and I want her to park next to me in a public car park, and then I will apologize. So that morning, I drove in with confidence. It's a big car park. The car park is full. And then I found a space. As I moved in, there's another space she moved in. Listen, the truth of God is pray for your enemies. Do you get me? I'm just trying to pull out some truth in scripture for you to realize that God is a God of truth and he walks with truth and in truth. We know who we are. Amen? Quickly tell the person sitting next to you, you know who you are. And I remember having left that place and look, I'm getting old now, so I don't do them. Someone was praying for me yesterday and said, let's pray for this young man. I said, yes, I'm a young man. So what I used to do when something is not going the right way, I will go to a park around where I live, okay? And this is declaring the truth. I'll go on the obstacles. There are so many obstacles. I success story. I am a success story because the word of God says I'm a success story. The word of God tells me that because I meditate on the word of God day and night, I prosper. Everything I lay my hands on, prosper. That's the truth. Even if I don't have money in my bank account, I'm a successful story. I'm a success story. Stop telling lies about yourself. Guide yourself with truth and let the devil know who you are. Amen. Amen. Praise the living Jesus. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 to 8. Before I say that, there's something I wrote here. I said one of the biggest battles against the truth is not knowing who you are in Christ. The enemy has hoodwinked many Christians into believing that we can add to what Christ has achieved for us on the cross. You cannot add or subtract. What he's done is complete. That was the lie he lied to Adam and Eve. But today, we're leaving this place victorious because we know who we are. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 to 8 says, examine yourself to see whether you're living in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Amen. I call it spiritual MOT. I go back to it. I say, I will examine myself. Is the truth, or have I taken the belt off? The belt must never go off. The belt of truth. When you have the belt of truth, you know you walk in victory. Even if it doesn't look as though things are going the way you want it, you're a victor. Because that's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says we are overcomers. Do you know what's interesting? Is that in that battle, we're not fighting, but we're winning. He said to Jehoshaphat, you will only behold, you will only look. He says to the children of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of God. There's always a standstill in God so that we can stand in his truth and not in the lies of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we need to put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth happens to be an important armor that holds the sword, and the Word of God is referred to as the sword of the Spirit. Many have walked away from the faith because they struggle to differentiate from facts and truth. For us to win in this battle, we must know and walk in the truth of God's Word. He says, having prevailed against everything, stand firm. Hallelujah. God wants you to stand and trust him in every situation. Yes, the enemy is attacking your health. The doctor's report doesn't look good. The enemy is attacking your marriage. When the enemy is saying to you, divorce, you need to go back and say, what does the truth say? Are you getting me? He's always going back to the truth. But if you're belted up with the truth, you will know where to go to. But if you don't have the truth round your waist, holding this midsection, which is probably the strongest bone part of the body, okay? You always fall. Please don't think that I am that perfect. I realize that my wife and myself are two imperfect people who got married to each other. And we don't argue. We debate. We're always in that place, and we always go back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say in this situation? I hope I've challenged you, and I hope you have a better understanding of truth. Notice I've not spoken about the Word. I've spoken about truth. But you now need to ask yourself this question. Where do you find truth? In the Word. Amen? Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. My son, Proverbs 3, do not depend on your own wisdom, but trust in the Word of God. Because that's where you find victory. He says to Joshua, let this law not depart from you if you want to have success. He says, meditate on it day and night. Amen. Many of us, once we've taken notes of what we've read, they've read the scripture given during sermons. We get to them, we don't touch it. We don't even bother to look through it. Wait, we've done our duty. We wrote it down. Because pastor says, everybody have a notebook. You go back home, you check it, you know that it is right and it's true, and that the pastor or the teacher is not quoting heresy. Many of us jump line, hook, and sinker into every preacher that we think is so eloquent. Paul says, when I came to you, 1 Corinthians 2, I did not come with eloquent words. I did not come with persuasive words, but I came with a demonstration of power so that your faith will not be in me, but in God. Go back and read what I said and let it be the truth. Not because I made you laugh or challenged you, but because you say, God, I want to spend time with you. I want to know your word because I know that your word is truth and I'm sanctified by your word. Amen. Shall we pray? I want us to begin to speak to God. Jesus Christ is the truth. The word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. And scripture tells us that it divides between bone and marrow. It divides between the flesh and the spirit. The more you look into it, the more you'll be able to identify which is error. The more you'll be able to identify that which is falsehood. So I want us to begin to speak to God and say, God, reveal you to me. I want to know you more. Tell him you want to have an insatiable hunger for his word. Tell him, Lord, I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to know you. I want to understand your word. You see, whenever I want to read this word, I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, can I have the keyboardist, please? I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I did not write this word. You wrote it. You have an understanding of it. You know it. You inspired it. Please teach me. Show me Jesus. Show me the truth in your word. And then I begin to open and read.